Hello there. This is Pat Perry from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Dogster Magazine. And we'll begin with the Chow Time column. Avocado, soybean, unsaponophables. That's a mouthful. Big benefits for osteoarthritis. In my practice as a canine nutritionist, I receive a lot of questions about the best supplements for dogs with osteoarthritis. In the hopes of relieving their dog's discomfort and restoring mobility, many clients drain their wallets on products that promise miracles but produce little benefit. I tend to be a less is more type person and scale back to the products that are proven safe and effective. I did this for my own dog, Chase, and as a German Shepherd dog mix, he remained mobile long after most dogs of his breed, enjoying more than 17 healthy years. One of the products on Chase's mobility list as he aged was an avocado soybean unsaponophables. In this issue, we're going to look at why I recommended it as part of a joint support regimen. What are avocado soybean unsaponophables? When I was a kid, Ivory soap was a bar of choice in our household. I loved how it floated in the bathtub. What I didn't realize was that this family's favorite was created thanks to the miracle of saponification, a process in which an oil or a fat is mixed with lye to form soap. Unsaponophables, as the name implies, are the parts of an oily, fatty mixture that are unable to saponify. Avocado soybean unsaponophables, or ASUs, fall into this category. They are natural vegetable extracts made from the small fraction, about 1%, of avocado and soybean oil that cannot be used to make soap because they are unable to saponify. ASUs are destined for a greater calling than melting away on the bathtub soap dish, relieving pain and discomfort associated with OA in dogs and humans. How do ASUs work? Well, ASUs consist of a mixture of 1/3 avocado oil and 2/3 soybean oil. They are rich in a variety of compounds, including fat-soluble vitamins and phytosterols, cholesterol-like molecules found in the cell walls of plants. ASUs are shown to delay the progression of OA by interfering with multiple pathways involved in creating pain and inflammation and destroying cartilage, including impeding the expression of the inflammatory COX2 enzyme. What does the research say? Dozens of published studies attest to the benefits of ASUs. A 2009 study of 16 dogs with cruciate ligament rupture showed that treatment with ASUs significantly decreased damage to the cartilage matrix and reduced the loss of subchondral bone volume and calcified cartilage thickness. Other studies in dogs concluded that ASUs produce an anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and tissue-building effect on articular chondrocytes, the cells found in healthy cartilage. Perhaps the most impressive testament to the benefits of ASUs in people comes from a 2016 study published in the journal Rheumatologia. The 6-month-long study observed 4,822 patients treated for symptomatic osteoarthritis of the knee in 99 centers across Poland. The patients were given one 300 milligram capsule of ASU per day and no other medication. The 86.8% of patients who completed the study showed significant improvement in the functional ability and a significant decrease in pain. They were also able to greatly reduce the use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. What it means for your dog is when a beloved dog suffers from pain, stiffness, and lack of mobility associated with OA, we just want him to feel better. While we can't turn back the clock, there are tools that we can use to help our dog age more comfortably and maintain an active lifestyle longer. ASUs, in my opinion, are one of those tools. They are shown safe for long-term use and may help reduce or even eliminate reliance on NSAIDs, which are linked with serious health complications, including increased risk of heart attack, stroke, bleeding, and kidney damage. Dosing. A dosage of 1,300 milligram ASU capsule given every 3 days was used in canine research studies. However, Matt Bronk, DVM of the Veterinary Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Group in Annapolis Junction, Maryland, and a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Sports Medicine and Rehabilitation, recommends determining a daily dosage based on the individual dog's body weight. I recommend purchasing a product formulated specifically for dogs, such as Dasquin by Nutramax, which contains ASU along with other joint support ingredients. If you decide to try an ASU product, remember to be patient, as it may take several weeks before you and your dog notice the benefits. Well, what about glucosamine? Found naturally throughout the body, glucosamine is important for joint and cartilage health. It is necessary to synthesize GAGS molecules found in cartilage and other connective tissues, as well as in synovial fluid, which cushions and lubricates joints. Glucosamine production can decrease with age, so it's often taken as a supplement. Dr. Brunk recommends the glucosamine hydrochloride form for dogs. Since glucosamine supplements are typically made from chitin, the hard outer shells of shellfish, dogs with shellfish allergies should opt for vegan products made from corn. Dogs with intolerances to corn may need to completely avoid glucosamine products. Glucosamine supplements can cause side effects, including gastrointestinal disturbances, as well as an increase in blood sugar, blood pressure, and triglyceride levels. A worsening of eye pressure in individuals with glaucoma or intraocular hypertension is also possible. Studies have yielded mixed results regarding the effectiveness of glucosamine supplements in treating signs and symptoms of OA. I recommend opting for a product combining additional clinically tested ingredients such as ASU. And next, from the Go Here, Go There column, Flying with Fido. Taking your dog on a plane is stressful, but hundreds of dogs fly safely every day, and you and your dog can fly without an incident, too. I was very nervous about taking Cupcake on a plane, said Megan Meeks of Miami, Florida, of her 13-year-old miniature schnauzer. Megan traveled with Cupcake for the first time on a plane from Vienna, Austria, to Orlando, Florida, when Cupcake was a puppy. An 8-hour flight to New York City's JFK Airport, and then another 3 hours to Orlando. I was so worried, Megan says. Would she be okay holding it the whole time? Would she be nervous? Would she be shaking? But I was worried for nothing. She did great. She never let out a peep, didn't cry or whine at all. And when we had the layover, she went potty and went right back in the bag. Cupcake, like many other dogs, had not been used to being in a carrier bag. She had been crate trained. When Megan believed helped Cupcake to deal with the confinement. Depending on the flight and the flight attendants, you may have to confine your dog for the entire flight, or you may be allowed to take your dog out of her bag. I had to keep Cupcake at my feet the entire time on the international flight, but they let me unzip the bag so she could pop her head out, Megan said. On the domestic flight, they said that she must absolutely be zipped in the bag the entire way. A flight tip. If your dog has never been in a bag or carrier for any extended time, get her used to being confined well before your trip. Use treats and positive reinforcement to help her become comfortable as you place her inside the bag, and then let her out again. Work up to keeping her in the bag for minutes at a time and eventually to progressively longer car rides. Flying rules. Aside from following the directions of the flight attendants, though don't place your dog in the overhead compartment, no matter who tells you to do so, there are a few rules that most airlines follow. Obtain a health certificate from your veterinarian within 10 days of departure. Dogs can travel on most flights less than 12 hours long. There are destination restrictions. See your airline's website for details. If your dog is traveling in the cargo hold, don't fly him when the climate is too warm or too cold. Many airlines will not accept brachycephalic breeds, smushed face or snub-nosed dogs in cargo. American Airlines recently added the Chow Chow breed to that list. If your dog is traveling in a carrier, the bag carrier must be able to fit underneath the seat at your feet. Your dog must be able to stand up, turn around, and lie down comfortably in the bag or carrier. See your airline carrier's website or call for all of its pet policies. Always read these first before flying with your dog. A flight tip, soft-sided carriers can be slightly larger than hard-sided carriers. Some common sense to-dos. There are some common sense ideas that will make travel much easier and more fun. Walk your dog and make sure that he does both number one and number two before boarding. Do not allow your dog to eat or drink too much before the flight. Though don't let your dog become dehydrated. Don't take your dog out of the bag or carrier on the plane unless you have permission. If your dog is making another passenger uncomfortable, respect that and put your dog away. If your dog is crying or barking, do whatever you can within the airline rules to help your dog feel more at ease, including offering treats and putting your hand inside the bag for some ear scratches. Keep the collar, harness, and leash on at all times. Try to fly nonstop if possible. If you have a layover, ask the location of the nearest pet relief area. Often they are inside the airport. Write your dog's name and your contact information onto a tag and attach it to his bag or carrier. Do not sedate a dog traveling in cargo unless necessary and advised by your veterinarian. Some airlines will not allow sedation. It can be dangerous for the health of your dog. Bring on board. Aside from the correct size carrier, here are a few other items you should bring on board. Potty pads. In the unlikely event that your dog needs to go, you might be able to take him to the airplane bathroom and encourage him to go on a pad. collapsible bowl. Your pup might become thirsty on a long flight, so a collapsible bowl will come in handy. Don't offer too much water, but don't dehydrate your pup either. A folder with your dog's health certificate, along with any recent photos in case he becomes lost. Include a photo of the two of you together. Pet wipes for the dreaded potty accident. Let's hope you won't need them. Paper towels for the same reason. Irresistible dog treats and a long-lasting chew. Make sure that neither are of the stinky variety. A favorite dog toy, non-squeaky, and a blanket. Most of all, bring the confidence that everything will go well on your flight. Your dog might not be an experienced flyer, but the staff on the plane will have the experience to help you make your flight as drama-free as possible. Here are some alternatives to flying. The quickest way to get from point A to B is by air travel. However, there are other ways to get around with your dog. A road trip, driving across states or across country with your dog, is easier in some regards than air travel, but it takes longer and comes with its own drawbacks, such as making sure your dog is safe when you have to take a potty or meal break, and weather can be an issue. Train. Dogs are allowed on some Amtrak trains on certain routes. They are welcome in the coach class on the train, and on some routes, they have their own coach car. Pets have to stay in a carrier and can be no more than 20 pounds. Like with airline travel, dogs must be up to date on vaccinations. See Amtrak.com/pets for more details. Ocean liner. The Queen Mary, too, has a kennel that can take up to 24 pets per transatlantic voyage. Dogs are cared for by a trained kennel master, and owners are allowed to spend copious time with their pets on board. A tip, book well ahead of time, as spots in the kennel are booked months in advance. And next, doggy school dropout. Help your dog to love the ride. I've helped train some interesting and memorable canine travel issues for clients in the 20 years I have been training dogs and their people. Some that stick out include a long-haul trucker whose heeler was scared to jump in or out of the truck cab, a lab boxer mix who barked incessantly whenever the owner was away from the car, an Irish Terrier who had severe motion sickness reactions since she was a puppy, a standard poodle who barked at anything and everything that moved outside of the car, a herding breed rescue of my own who developed tremendous anxiousness traveling by car. Every dog is an individual, and it's important to acknowledge that. Having said that, there are some general ways we smart humans can help our canine companions travel easier with us. Step 1. Never force a dog into a car if you have the option not to. Of course, there are exceptions, such as finding an injured stray dog that you need to get to a vet or shelter, or getting your own dog to the vet in an emergency. Other than true emergencies, consider your dog's needs first and foremost. Forcing a dog into doing something is not helpful. If you do force a nervous dog into a car, you might just have created a lifelong concern for your pup. Slow and steady, and moving forward at the dog's pace wins the day. Step 2. Make the car experience fun from the very first trip. If you only put your dog in the car to take her to the vet where they have to go do things that might cause fear or pain, such as vaccinations, why would she enjoy the car, would you? The first few trips are crucial to success. Take very short trips at first, perhaps just around your block. end the trip doing something fabulous, such as a novel treat if the dog is willing to eat, or a new toy given inside the car. Step 3. Dogs learn in part by pairing events. It's vital to pair an outing in the car with a great time from the dog's perspective, particularly at first. For example, if a doorbell sound ringing in the background never means someone is at the front door, it's just a sound with nothing happening after the doorbell rings, most dogs will learn to habituate and ignore the innocuous doorbell noise. But dogs are clever, and in a very short order, they pair the ding-dong sound with a new friend or a potentially scary stranger at the door. Step 4. Give your dog an outlet for any travel nervousness by exercising her prior to a car trip. Dogs travel through the world nose first, so take your dog on a walk in your neighborhood and make sure she has plenty of sniffing time. You can also play a game of Find It, where you hide toys or even hide yourself in your home for a few minutes if your dog loves this game. I don't recommend feeding a meal or lots of treats prior to a trip if you're concerned your dog might vomit in the car. However, if you're certain that won't happen from past experience, then it's helpful to pair a trip in the car with some excellent novel treats. Step 5. If your dog is showing physical signs of travel anxiety, she might very well benefit from additional help in the form of medication, natural remedies, or solutions. Get a veterinarian's assistance if your dog exhibits such things as pacing, excessive panting, drooling, out-of-control barking, or vomiting. The sooner you get that extra help for your dog, the better. I help the extremely motion-sensitive Irish Terrier by taking her veterinarian's advice and making sure she had both an anti-nausea medication and an anti-vertigo medication well before a car trip. And we worked on her emotional discomfort by taking very short rides and pairing those trips with wonderful things. I helped my healer rescue deal with his sudden onset travel anxiety by getting him a thunderclap, which filters a dog's vision in order to reduce visual overstimulation. That helped to block the outside movement once I figured out that movement was stressing him out. And next, Work It. The USO's first therapy dog team. Bandit, a European blue Great Dane puppy, was scheduled to be euthanized. He had a softball-sized lump growing from his neck, and the group that had taken him in and his siblings didn't have the funds required to help him. Luckily, Kelly Brownfield, a USO Western Missouri Regional Operations Director, was at the same vet getting her newly adopted pup checked out. Without hesitation, she scooped up Bandit. "I made the decision there," she explains, "that he was coming home with me." It turned out that Bandit's issues were because of a piece of wood stuck in his back tooth, a relatively easy and inexpensive fix. Kelly had always wanted a Great Dane, and now she had two. Kelly has a job where she can bring her dogs to work, the USO of Missouri, Incorporated. Bandit loved the servicemen and women and wanted to be with them. "When soldiers were having issues, we would find him, Bandit, in the lap of a crying soldier," Kelly said. "He knew how to sense out people. A number of people pitched in training so that he could pass the test required to become a registered therapy dog. These are tests that he has to retake and pass annually." Today, Kelly owns Bandit and Maverick, another European blue Great Dane, who are both registered through the Alliance of Therapy Dogs, part of a nationwide therapy dog group whose certification is good state to state. Their work isn't isolated to the USO of Missouri. Kelly, Bandit, and Maverick conduct tours of the East Coast. This allows other service members to interact with the dogs. Travel is by car. It's a little difficult to get two giant pups on a flight with you. Bandit's list of accomplishments is long. What he enjoys most is working with the men and women in uniform. I know he loves doing this, Kelly says. His vest is filled with patches and pins of units he's worked with. In the morning, when I say it's time to go, he is so excited to see his vest come out. Bandit will be brought into a room of servicemen and women and given the chance to cuddle up to each one. Interactions are watched closely. If one of the humans shows excessive emotion while with Bandit, there is a good chance there is an underlying concern, issues, or signs of PSD. Bandit allows the servicemen and women who have been through so much to feel safe enough to break down their emotional barriers and connect with their deepest feelings. This alerts others that the soldier may need additional treatment and help. In his prime, Bandit spent time at the hospital as stability support, helping wounded warrior amputees get back on their feet. Bandit himself has a physical deformity that makes it harder for him to walk. He has had 5 surgeries, leaving him with screws in his back legs. Soldiers who have lost limbs connect easily with Bandit. After being suited up in a special harness, Bandit would walk next to a patient trying out his or her artificial leg. Bandit's size is a plus, making him, with his harness in place, the perfect height to add some balance to a soldier's first few steps. Bandit does everything he can to prevent his partner from falling, even if a new leg fails. Bandit's special touch doesn't stop at the military members. It extends to their families. Many children who visit the USO find Bandit to be not just a dog, but a friend, a soft and loving creature they can play with, hug, and tell their secrets to. Bandit has been the partner for children at their fallen parents' funeral. He walks with the child to the graveside, staying with him or her, and being the supportive best friend that the child desperately needs at that time. Due to Bandit's success, Kelly has shared their process and guidelines with other USO offices in the hopes that the program can go nationwide. When asked why Bandit likes his job, Kelly says, "I think he just loves people and he loves what he does. It's almost like he was born for this. Sometimes I wonder if we saved him within minutes of him being put down, if this is his way of giving back." We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138.